Hi, welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is April 28, 2023, and this is episode 29, When I Was Ready to Give Up. All right, first off, we've got farm happenings. We've actually had some rain. I think over the last 2 days, we've had pretty close to 2 inches of rain. I was going to actually add it up before I got on here, and I forgot to do that, but yep. And I was looking, and this is the first rain we've had for the whole month of April, so it's a good thing to that we've got this couple of inches, and it's been a good rain. It's not like been thunderstorms and blowing and going. It's been just soft, steady, misty sometimes, or just nice rain, and good for everything around here, watering it down good, but not flooding us out. So I've been really grateful for that. I've had a Cornish cross chick. It's kind of weird. It was in the brooder shed, and that morning that I took them out and put them in the chicken tractor, I looked down, there's one out there on the ground. I don't know if it was there and I didn't see it. Maybe it had jumped out of the brooder and was out there before when the dogs got hold of it, or I dropped it on the way or something. I don't know, but it was obviously injured, not looking so hot, and I'm thinking, it's probably going to die. But I didn't put it out of his misery. I went ahead and put him in the chicken tractor. And then, that was in the morning. That evening, he was still alive. I'm thinking, okay, well, now what do I do? He was still suffering, but he was still alive and kind of doing okay. So I let him go overnight, and he was still alive the next morning. I thought, okay, this guy is a tough bugger. I think I will go ahead and segregate him. And I put him in a smaller pen and put a little bit of food and water. And it took a couple of days, but he actually got his feet under. He couldn't even stand up. He was like, I don't know what was wrong with him, but he really couldn't stand. He couldn't hardly function at all, but he was still hanging in there. And now when I put him back in the chicken tractor, he was still limping a little bit, but looking pretty happy to be moving around. And now I can't tell which one it is at all. So that's, you know, I didn't have to do too much extra, but I did have to do a little extra for one of my Cornish crosses. And that's unusual. Usually when a chick goes down or is acting badly, that's it. And I do have another chick out there that I'm going to keep an eye on him. And he was going down more tonight. So I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes I think I should put them out of their misery. But at the same time, that's something I do struggle with. So I don't know. But yep, the one, he's doing good and right back with the rest of his group. Okay, and then my Bress, the Bresse flock. You know, I told you I had ordered them last July, and I think they finally arrived like in November or something like that. And I ended up with two roosters and two hens. And then I lost one of my hens the other day because the roosters had just shredded her. And so I took two of the roosters out. No, I took three of them out. I put three out, you know, so I left one rooster with the remaining three hens. And and I put them in a separate pen, and one rooster just getting beat up. And I thought, crap, I'm going to lose him too after all this time. So I actually ended up putting him back in with the original flock, and he's still getting picked on a little bit, but not nearly as bad because he's over there with one other rooster and three other hens, and that seems to be working out a little bit better. He's still struggling some, but not as bad as he was. But yeah, that's kind of, there have been several things kind of like that happening lately, but everything's still living, and I'm good for that. Tonight is prom night. Kinsey and Cadence are only sophomores, but they were invited by some seniors, and last two or three weeks, so it's been kind of a whirlwind of trying to find a dress. You know, Cadence was easier to find a dress for size-wise, because I think she's like a size 5 or 6, but Kinsey is like a size 0. So but we found, both of them found gorgeous dresses, beautiful dresses. Kinsey's mother and Cadence's mother paid for them to get their nails done. We just got back a few minutes ago getting their hair done, and then they spent the entire day doing their makeup. So they just left. They're off doing prom night, and I really hope they have a good time. They are beautiful. It's just enough to bring tears to the eyes how gorgeous they are. But yeah, my grandbaby's growing up. So I don't know. It kind of makes me a little bit melancholy. I don't know, but she is beautiful and Cadence is beautiful too. They did choose some really nice dresses. So, yep, that's another one of the things that's going on around here. All right. My three things is the next segment. And I've done a modification because we've been reading in my level up group. The one thing I think is the name of the book, and it's been an excellent book. It's been good for me. So actually, okay, like Nicole, when she writes, she does my three things, the three things that you must get done today to move you forward in your life. And I have done a lot with that, but at the same time, this my one thing has helped me to laser focus even more, you know. What is of those three things, what is the one thing that I must get done? And in this case today, it's produce and post a podcast. And I hope that doesn't get too repetitious, because honestly, number one thing is either going to be post and produce a podcast, or it's going to be post a video or something along that timeline, some sort of content production, you know what I'm saying? So my one thing is to produce and post a podcast. And number two is Piloxing class at the gym. I got that done this morning. I always love my classes at the gym. And number three is the girls to get the hair appointments for prom. And I love Ashley Cagle. She does an excellent job with the hair. And Kinsey had a beautiful kind of a low bun, kind of a really, I don't know, it was pretty. And then Cadence just got her hair curled, and they both were just beautiful with that. So my friend Ashley did an excellent job with them. All right, next segment is what I'm reading. And, okay, I know you guys, if you've been following me anytime at all, you're going, what is, this woman reads all kinds of stuff. And, yep, I'm on the next one. This is a four-volume collection of Edgar Cayce. And so I'm reading the Edgar Cayce on Dreams, or this is what I'm reading to you guys tonight. And this book was written by Harmon H. Brow, PhD, and this was written in 1968 as part of the Association for Research and Enlightenment. So on page 8, Cayce was certain that psychic ability was a normal potential in every healthy, creative person. He saw it as an outreach of personality that could be trained as one might train musical or philosophic or executive abilities. And then Francis, I think, was one of the people he used to do dreams for. Francis accumulated vivid evidence in 4 years of Cayce's help that her dreams functioned both to solve her outward problems and to quicken her to inner potentials. He would not let her use her dreams as a handy divining kit. What might seem a message of forthcoming illness, he said, would instead mirror a sick attitude in the dreamer's present behavior. What might seem guidance to an advantageous stock sale could be the dreamer's stock taking of himself or a friend. An awesome bearded man in a dream could well be the dreamer's stern conscience rather than the heavenly messenger she might rather believe. He made it clear that dreams cannot be approached simply as messages from a higher realm. It is important, he explained, to differentiate between the spiritual conception and the conscious conception which appears in dreams. As Cayce counseled Francis and others about their dreams, it became clear that he saw their dreams as coming from different levels within them. In this view, the dream was somewhat analogous to a ship. And the last one is nobody dreams who is unable to interpret and learn from his own dreams. So that's that book, and that is the Edgar Cayce collection. That's an interesting guy. I thought I was going to be reading about something else when I was reading that, and I was not. But this man, apparently back in these particular days, could be put in sort of a trance. He'd go to sleep. He'd be lying on the couch, and he'd be put into a trance. And he could do readings for people. And if somebody was having a health issue, he could tell them what to do to help with their health issue. If somebody was needing help with dreams or anything along that line, he was able to do it. And he actually even started a hospital on that line with the gift that he had been able to do. And so actually there's going to be some pretty interesting excerpts that I'll read to you over the next few weeks, because there's some fascinating. We live in an age, and I'm not talking about like maybe in the 90s when there's the new age stuff and you like crystals and I don't know. There's so many different things that's happened over the years that to outlook at. I believe in God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I also believe there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. And Edgar Cayce was a devout Christian. And so he actually wrestled with some of the things that he learned through his things that he was doing for these people. So it's been interesting. And I'm kind of looking forward to sharing some of those with you. Okay. Also, as you know, I am listening to Atlas Shrugged, and I've got ants in here for some reason. I bet because it's raining outside. I don't know. But let's see, Atlas Shrugged. And I'm at the part where I was at the part earlier where the Directive 10289 had been enacted. Everything's kind of collapsed. They say that everybody has to share with other people. If you're rich, you have to give what you have to the poor. If you're poor, you know, you deserve to be treated differently. You deserve, you know, you don't have to work. We got rich people that'll take care of you and stuff. And so inevitably everything is collapsing. And a lot of the big companies that were supposed to be producing the money to help take care of the poor people, they're going under now too. So now they have enacted the Directive 10289. And I actually looked it up because, like I said, it's been doing audiobook. And so I looked it up and I'll read to you what the different points of the Directive 10289. Okay. So in the name of general welfare to protect the people's security. And you got, now let's see, you got to listen to some of this words and think about how much of it reflects on what we're seeing and doing and stuff now too. You know, what are you told that you need to do for your safety and for other people's safety? So to protect people's security, to achieve full equality and total stability, it is decreed for the duration of the national emergency that one, all workers, wage earners and employees of any kind whatsoever shall henceforth be attached to their jobs and shall not leave nor be dismissed nor change employment under penalty of a term in jail. It means they can't quit or they could go to jail. The penalty, so I'm going to cut that one off there. Point two, all industrial, commercial, and manufacturing and business established of any nature whatsoever shall henceforth remain in operation, and the owners of such establishments shall not quit, nor leave, nor retire, nor close, sell, or transfer their business under the penalty of nationalization of their establishment and of any and all of their property. So if you have a business, you got to stay open whether you make a profit or not. Point three, all patents, copyrights pertaining to any device, inventions, formulas, processes, and works of any nature whatsoever shall be turned over to the nation as a patriotic emergency gift by means of gift certificates to be signed voluntarily by the owners of all patents and copyrights. So if you invented something, you don't have a patent on anymore. Everything belongs to the government now. Any formula, anything new whatsoever has to be turned over as a form of patriotism to the government. And point four, no new devices, inventions, products, or goods of any nature whatsoever, not now on the market, shall be produced, invented, manufactured, or sold after the date of this directive. The Office of Patents and Copyrights is hereby suspended. So you can't even try to invent anything anymore. Whatever's on the market now, we're done. It's good enough. And you can't produce anything new. You can't come up with anything innovative. You can't come up with a better way to do something. Too late. You can't do it. Point five, every establishment concerned, corporation or person engaged in production of any nature whatsoever shall henceforth produce the same amount of goods per year as they or he produced during the basic year, no more or no less. So they have a basic year that they determine how much you produced, and no matter what, whether you can get this tools and supplies that you need to do it, you still have to produce the same amount as you've done in this particular basic year. And Point six, every person of every age, sex, class, or income shall be henceforth spent. Okay. Every person of any age, sex, class, or income shall henceforth spend the same amount of money on the purchase of the goods per year as he or she spent during the basic year, no more and no less. So if you spent a certain amount of money for food one year, you have to spend the same amount of money the next year for that, or whatever you get. Over or under purchasing shall be fined. Such fines shall be determined by the unification board. The unification board is who's going to be like over this. And think about that. Maybe it's not the unification board, but it's like the different things in government that tells you whether you've done, what's the word? It just escaped me. Misinformation, that type of thing. I don't know. Point seven, all wages, prices, salaries, dividends, profits, interest rates, and forms of income of any nature whatsoever shall be frozen at their present figures as of the date of this directive. So you can't earn any more money than you did of that same from that basic year. And point eight, all cases arising from and rules not specifically provided for this directive shall be settled and determined by the unification board, whose decisions will be final. I just found that was interesting. Man, and this was written in 1957, and there's a lot more to this book, but I just thought it'd be interesting how you can read about the directives. And this, I'm not saying that this is a complete mirror of what we're seeing in a day now, or even when we were going through the pandemic. But there are some similarities that you can see. All right, my quote of the day: a day is not ordinary or extraordinary in itself. It is ordinary or extraordinary depending on how I view it and what I choose to do with it. This is by Ruth Center. I had trouble finding information on her. I mean, she's apparently written several books, but she's a Bible teacher, pastor's wife, conference speaker, editor, and the author of 11 books. But as far as actually anything about the person herself, I really didn't find a whole lot. It was all about her books. So, but I like this quote anyway: a day is not ordinary or extraordinary in itself. It is ordinary or extraordinary depending on how I view it and what I choose to do with it. All right, my main subject. This might be a little bit difficult to talk about. I've been struggling lately. I've been struggling within a few areas. Daisy's farrowing had gone so badly, and that was my first farrowing I'd ever been part of. I mean, if you think about it, 4 days of dead piglets, finding dead piglets every day, and the one piglet did live and eventually ended up dying too. Struggling to keep chickens alive, struggling to keep chicks alive, struggling to get a garden going. I've just been struggling with a whole lot of things lately, and I don't even know if I feel overwhelmed. I think I just got depressed, and it's like, yeah, I quit. In fact, one day it was raining. I wasn't going to be able to do too much outside anyway. I always do the chores and everything I got to get done regardless of the weather, but I need to work on a fence, and I'd already worked on it one day in the rain. I didn't want to do it another day. And I actually took a novel I was reading, got in the car, and drove out to the lake and sat and overlooked the lake and started reading my novel. So I'd look up from my novel occasionally and look at the lake. And I think that was a pretty healing day for me, and I was really grateful for that. It helped me kind of get a little bit of perspective on it. But basically, there's been a few things. Like, okay, on egg sales last year when everybody wanted some eggs, when we didn't have any, I had people, you know, knocking down my door wanting eggs. Now I got a crap load of eggs, and everybody goes, oh no, thanks, we got eggs now. And that's what happened. I went 5 months without any eggs. So, you know, they found other sources. So I've got a bunch of eggs and nobody to, I mean, I got a few customers, don't get me wrong, but I don't have any customers. I'm sure a lot of that's my fault because I haven't done as much advertising to get rid of them. So I don't know, we'll have to see. Taxes. I got my taxes in, and that was a good thing. But he told me basically this is the last year that I can count the farm or anything else I'm doing for business expenses, and I must make a profit. Well, I'm nowhere near making a profit. So that was that. I'm struggling with that one too. I feel alone. I listen to all of you guys. I listen to all the podcasts and hear all the things, wonderful things that you guys are getting done and stuff. But essentially, I've got a 16-year-old daughter and a severely depressed husband, and everything that I want to get done, I've got to do it myself. And I'm 60 years old. I've been feeling my age lately, and it's been kind of getting me down, I won't lie. And I feel like I'm the only one with a dream. Even Kinsey at 16 doesn't care. She didn't care about a future. She cares about today, and Tom cares about yesterday. So I've been down, I won't lie. Then Waddles farrowed. She's my other female pig. And I went out the other night to do evening chores, and she's in labor, and there were like six little pigs running around. And she was still in labor. But she, you know what? She took care of it all by herself. She didn't need anything from me. The next morning, I had 9 beautiful, adorable piglets all alive. And I'm choking up now even thinking about it. They're all healthy and alive. I have 5 white ones and 4 of those beautiful little cute little mottled ones. Because these are the Idaho pasture pigs. So, oh my gosh, these guys are just adorable. And she didn't need anything from me. And I cried. But the next morning you get up, you go, oh my gosh, are they going to be still alive? Because, you know, if you think about 4 days of getting up and going out and checking on Daisy and finding 2 more dead piglets or whatever, you know. I never found a dead piglet. I never did find a dead piglet on Waddles. And she's done a wonderful job of caring for these baby pigs. And it seemed to take some of the pressure off, because I was about ready to throw in the towel, you know. And you hear people talking about that, and seeing whether it is in there. Let me think about how mean. So you hear about people that have bad days and they're ready to throw in the towel, and I think mine has been a series of days that had me about ready to throw in the towel. So I haven't sexed these guys yet. I think tomorrow I'm going to try to get that done and see. And then I'm going to have to start posting that I've got piglets for sale. So yeah, that's been a blessing. It's kind of helped me get around the corner and stuff too. And I'm very grateful for that. So yeah, something went right on the farm, and I'm grateful for that. Oh yeah, and you know, one of the things that's getting me down too is this bathroom. I hadn't even been working on it. I just had too much. So yep, Waddles farrowed. I spent a couple hours sitting out at the lake, reading a book, looking at the lake. You know, it was a rainy day, you know, and that's always kind of nice too. Just sitting there in a car, listening to the rainfall, watching the rain hit the lake, the water. And then read a book in between. So yeah, I'm getting there. And but that's where I came up with the name of my podcast as well. When I was ready to give up. I wrote it down. So I got too many pages. When I was ready to give up, yeah. All right, my story of the day. One of the things, and I had never even heard of these things when we moved out here. Was voles, V-O-L-E-S. And so they're actually kind of cute. They're not a rat necessarily. They're bigger than a mouse and smaller than a rat. They're about the size of your fist, especially mine, because apparently they were very well fed. And there's been several things. I had one particular story in mind, but I'm now reminded of another one that I had a car that was parked by the barn, and it had quit working. And we took it to the shop, and the voles had climbed up in there and had eaten the spark plug wires. Well, the spark plug wires apparently at that time were soy coated instead of plastic or rubber or whatever they were. They were covered with soy, S-O-Y, and they were eating my spark plug wires and tearing them up. Well, I think in that 1 6-month period, I went through like 4 or 5 sets of spark plug wires. But then another time, they actually chewed a wire that goes to my transmission. So we took it to a transmission place. And the guy there, he goes, do you park next to the barn or where you feed your dogs? And I said, yeah. He goes, man, we took the battery cover off and dog food went everywhere. And I went, oh my gosh. So they had to rewire all that stuff underneath the car. And actually, now that we have Mopar, Mopar's done my cat. He's my barn cat. I like Mopar. He's a good cat. And he has really knocked down the vole population. But we went for a long time with all. In fact, if you, my dogs would kill them and then leave them laying everywhere. So if you came up to the property, you could actually see dead voles laying around, which is kind of pretty disgusting. But during one of those times, I worked in a place in Claremore assembling trophies. And I didn't know it, but a vole was living up in my engine compartment, living on the dog food. And gotten huge. And I was telling you that a vole was about the size of a fist. This guy was almost the size of two fists. He was a big old fat vole. And I didn't know that I had taken him into town. And so this is like a strip mall that kind of makes a U-shape on it. And my boss came in. He goes, you live out in the country. You know what this is. Come and look. And he had me go out there. And that stupid vole had come out from underneath the hood of my car and was wandering up and down the sidewalk. And just checking things out. And so they end up calling animal control to catch this fat vole. And I was embarrassed because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I really do think that's a vole. And I really do think it had to come from my car. So yeah, I'm really glad. We still see voles occasionally, but there's nowhere near as many trails. There's nowhere near as many dead voles laying around. And so, and it was a problem too, because now I'm like, my whole property is covered with holes where my dogs dug, trying to dig up where these voles were sleeping. And they've actually girdled a couple of our fruit trees too, chewing around the bottom and stuff. So yeah, I'm glad they're kind of diminished, and that's a good thing. So yeah, that's my story of the day, was all the voles and stuff. My question of the day, do you have any particular animals that you've had? Oh, I know one lady at the gym told me that she doesn't have a top on her chicken coop. She just got chickens, and she's got a fox that's climbing her fence and getting into her chicken. So she's a little bit distraught now too. So do you have any animals that you've been having to fight to get out? Or do you have any weird animal stories like voles following you or coming with you to town and wandering up and down the sidewalk? Let me know. I'd like to hear about it. All right. Income producing activity of the day is the fold card. It's been a while since I've talked to you about this. This is a Bitcoin type thing. It is a prepaid debit card. So it's cool because regardless of, you don't have to, you're funding the debit card. Okay. And you're not spending any extra at all. Whatever money you put on that debit card, that's what's going to go, and it can go to whatever. Like some people pay their bills with it, but I just do it for stuff around town that I'm buying, you know, maybe even feeding and stuff like that. And they earn Satoshis for spending it. And over time it can accumulates pretty good. If you look on the link below, you'll see on the where the fold card is. Check it out. Go to that link and look into it more. Look into it and see if it's a good way to invest in Bitcoin. Because if you think about it, no matter what we have, you can already see that we're going to some sort of type of cryptocurrency, government currency, whatever, you know, digital currency through the government. And there's a lot of other coins and stuff out there, but I believe that Bitcoin has been I want to say vanguard, but I'm not sure if that's a proper word or not, but it's a good one to get into. So go ahead and check out the fold card. Go to the link below and check that out. All right, guys, I think I'm done. I want to talk to you a bit about where I can be found. I am at grandmashomestead.farm. That's my website. I'm getting better about getting a few things up there. It's starting to look and function better. I try to put a blog post once a week about what's going on here on the property. I'm starting to put recipes up there. There's a few other things I'm working on, but grandmashomestead.farm. Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel, Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram as Thecia Ellis and TikTok as Thecia Ellis. And I'm also on Facebook, MeWe, and Twitter on some version of Thesia Ellis. So that's all I got for you today. I pray that you guys are getting good rain. I pray that things are going well for you on your farm. And God bless, and I'll see you next time.